good to see the translators. We work with a lot of translators, and many of you have probably heard of the Message Hub. And, you know, through the cooperative effort of translators all over the world, we're loading on average 25 to 30 new translations a week on the Message Hub. And just to share with the translators, the Lord just opened something up for me. I don't even like to say it like that. It's been laying in the message all the time. You know, when Brother Branham saw the preview of the bride, and the final bride was dressed in the garments of their own nation. Now, when we get on the other side, we're not all going to be dressed differently. That was a vision that was symbolizing something. And we know that the wedding garment is the Word. So the bride of every nation is dressed in the Word in their own language. That's really what it was symbolizing to us. So then that means that translators have a crucial role in dressing the bride of their nation that speak their language. And so, you know, let's not forget to pray for the translators. We're not going out of here till the bride is clothed.
Yeah.
They're important. Very important in what God is doing in this hour. Psalms 147. Let's just bow our heads in a word of prayer before we turn here, before we read. Heavenly Father, Lord, once again, we've come into your gates with thanksgiving this evening. This morning, rather. Lord, they are not earthly gates, they are heavenly gates. We approach your throne of grace, and we come to stand before you. Lord, there was a time that you saw in your mind before the foundation of the world, the sons of God shouting for joy. And Lord, that's the rejoicing that we have in the revelation of who we are. Lord, we pray that you'll cause us to shout for joy, as it were, today. Open our eyes to see the things that we need to see, that you want us to see, Father. For you are the Word. You know the secrets of every heart. And may you minister your Word down to the heart of every individual. We ask your blessing upon the reading and the speaking of it. We commit ourselves to you for your glory in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Psalms 147, we're going to jump right in. I'll maybe bring you a greeting from Brother Biscoe in the second session. But Psalms 147, praise ye the Lord, for it is good to sing praises unto our God, for it is pleasant, and praise is comely. The Lord does build up Jerusalem and gathereth together the outcasts of Israel. This is not my subject, but this is a very powerful scripture. Brother Jason touched on Jerusalem last night and what it really means. And notice God says he doesn't deal with Jerusalem, but he builds up Jerusalem. You know, Paul says concerning his ministry, he says, I'll use the power that God has given me for edification, not for destruction. The purpose of ministry is to build up, not to tear down. And so he says, he does build up Jerusalem, and he gathereth together the outcasts of Israel, those that have been driven out. The word literally means driven out. God's interested in those that have been driven out. He's interested in those that are far off. He's interested in those that are wounded. The next scripture says, he healeth the broken in heart and bindeth up their wounds. Are you glad for that this morning?
Amen.
He telleth the number of the stars, and he calleth them all by their names. Now, just a second. That's quite a turn in the scripture here. It starts out, God's dealing with Jerusalem, building it up, reaching out to the outcasts, healing the brokenhearted, binding up the wounds, and all of a sudden the scripture takes us into the heavenlies. He knows the stars. He calls them by their names. Because the key scripture is next one. He says, great is our Lord and of great power. His understanding is infinite. And I want to speak on that in this first session this morning. The Lord add his blessing to the word. You may have your seats. I want to just start in a very simple level this morning, if I can. I believe it will be a blessing to you. We jump right in. We'll pretend we're not nervous. All right? And we'll just let God have his way as we talk about infinite this morning. And what it represents to us, because the message of the hour doesn't just cause us to understand who we are, but it causes us to understand who we are in the mind of God. Amen. And that's the important part this morning. Now, Brother Branham makes a statement. He says, there's no way to explain what infinite is. And so we're going to talk on the unexplainable this morning, if that's all right. But by God's help, we want to see how this impacts our lives, and because if we can see our infinite God from the right perspective, we can then approach him and realize how he wants us to be in relationship to him. Now, infinite means, according to the English language, it means without limit as to capacity. And I'm not trying to explain it, just kind of put some parameters on it. Without limit as to capacity or power or anything. It is limitless or endless in space, extent, or size. It is impossible to measure. And I want you to remember these statements, because sometimes we don't look at infinite in the right way. But it is without limits, it is without measure, and it is impossible to calculate. All right? It is not a mathematical term, even though maybe mathematicians might use the term to mean something. It is boundless. It is innumerable. It is inestimable. Brother Branham says infinite is perfect. And so there's all of these thoughts about infinite and our infinite God and our boundless, limitless, impossible to measure God. But yet our God, our Father, though infinite, he is moved by faith.
Yeah. Amen.
So faith moves the infinite. Yeah. Or faith accesses the infinite. But yet with our finite minds, we cannot comprehend our infinite God and all of his attributes. But if God will help us to gain faith in him, faith in his word, faith in his promises, you know, we can lay a hold of things that we've never laid a hold of before.
Amen.
So we realize that his understanding, because he's infinite now, all right, I'm just going to go through this, because he's infinite, he cannot change. That's an aspect of infinite. He cannot change. He doesn't. Let me stop just a moment by saying, what a message we have. Where would we be in this dark hour without the light that God has sent into this generation? It's only getting darker out there. But rise and shine, your light has come. And the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. So we are so blessed to have this message. And so blessed to be brought. As we had so many good nuggets last night. I'd love to sit down and just listen to Brother Jason explain every one of those nuggets.
Yeah.
And we'd be here for days and days and days. You know, it was lots of good nuggets there. Lots of good statements. And I'm sure he wanted to stop and preach on every one of them, as preachers are apt to do. Brother Branham makes a statement. He says, there's one thing about God. And I just threw these up on a slideshow just to help you follow along. There's one thing about God. He does not make no mistakes. Now that's, in correct English, that would mean he does make mistakes. But in Kentucky English, that means he doesn't make mistakes.
Yeah.
All right? So he does not make no mistakes. And his first decision is his only decision, because he's infinite. And to be infinite, that's perfect times perfect plus perfect and perfect is infinite. He knew all things from the beginning. He never has to take a word back. He never has to improve. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
Because his first decision is the only decision can ever be made. He does not learn more, get smarter, as we claim to do, but he was perfect to begin with. All right, so I want you to remember that God does not make mistakes. He makes a decision. He cannot change his decision. His decision is the only decision. We're not going to go into perfect will and permissive will. I'm sure you've all heard of that before. But now God knows all of us. And Brother Brown goes into another place here. He says, well, if he is infinite, he knowed every flea that would be ever be on the earth. How many times it ever bat its eye and how much tallow it would make. You've probably heard that statement before. He says that's before the foundation of the world ever started. So he says before there ever was a creation, God already knew how much tallow would ever be made by every flea and how many times they would ever bat their eyes. He's showing about the small here. He said he's so perfect till he knowed everything that would ever do. He knowed every time, how many, how long your fingernail would be. How many times you batted your eye. And how many times you moved your finger before the world ever began. That's infinite. Aren't you glad for the message? Describing to us the reality of infinite. You know, in the book of Job, chapter 9 and verse 10, it says, which doeth great things, talking about God, great things past finding out, and wonders without number. And so we see that this is the great God that we serve. And yet, though God is so great, he loved us anyway. So he knew, he makes no mistakes. He knew every move that you would make. Therefore, he knew every mistake that you would make. But he loved you anyway. I like the way Spurgeon said it. He says, I know he loved me before I was born because he wouldn't have loved me after I was born. And that's the reality of it. We were in his thoughts before the foundation of the world. Though he knew me, the songwriter said, yet he loved me. Amen. Now, Brother Branham says in another place here, you just excuse me as I plow through this, says he knowed we'd be here. He knowed that I'd be here before the foundation, before the world. He knowed I'd be standing here before there was a world here. He knowed you'd be sitting in a seat you are. Right. So you're right now, this present tense was in his thoughts before the foundation of the world. All right. He's infinite, certainly he knows you. Then he makes a statement, what are you scared about? He already knows it. He already knows what your trouble is. He knows what's on your mind. He knew it before the foundation of the world. He knew what your need would be. He knew why you'd be at these meetings. He knew exactly what your burden is. He knows the trouble you're going through or the trouble you're about to go through or the trouble you've already come out of. That's our God. He's infinite. It says he put your name on the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the world. Is that what the scripture says? That's what he did. He says the Bible said he did. He says, what are you worried about? You got the Holy Ghost sealed into the kingdom of God. How long? Until the day of your redemption. Amen. The church is scared. Don't be scared. Fear not. Only believe. That's what God wants. Amen. He knew every thought we'd have before we were born. He knew every temptation that the devil would throw at you. I told you we start out simple this morning. We're just trying to describe infinite. He knew every car accident you'd be in. He knew every injury you'd have. He knew every problem. He knew your family members. He watched over your parents, your grandparents, to bring your body into existence. He guides things down through the ages in order to bring out a certain something in your life. In other words, God knows your uniqueness. And God's interested in your uniqueness because he's infinite. If he wasn't infinite, your uniqueness would be hard to grasp.
Wow.
But because he's infinite, he grasps all of our uniqueness.
Wow.
Now, I could say a lot about that because we're finite.
Yes.
And even as preachers, we're finite.
Yes.
And because as preachers, we're finite, we think everybody should preach like we should, like we do. You know, if we had good preachers, they'd all preach the way I do, right, Brother Paul? You know, we all have an idea because of our finite minds, and we know how God deals with us, but we don't realize that God is in his infinite character, knows the uniqueness of every individual, and that's why it says he gave gifts unto men, not a gift unto men.
Amen.
And he makes every preacher different. And he makes every member of the body different.
Right.
And he makes every man different, and he makes every woman different. And so God in his infinite understands everything about us, though we are all unique.
Amen.
To me, that's one of the things that I always appreciated about Brother Biscoe, if I can say. Maybe I'll just drop this in now. Brother Biscoe, Brother Barry asked me to let anybody know that want to know how Brother Biscoe is doing. Brother Biscoe is doing fine. He has some weaknesses because of his age that doesn't allow him to preach. But I just saw him on Wednesday morning and sat down with him, and I says, Brother Ed, one of the reasons I'm sitting down with you now is because I know I'm going to get asked at the men's meeting to say, how are you? So how are you? And he said, the doctors say, I'm doing great for my age. And that's really what sums it up. If you were 87 years old, you might not be preaching either. There might be some brothers that can preach at that age, but Brother Biscoe is just battling some 87-year-old things. But physically, strong, fine. And so God bless you for your concern and your prayers. But one of the things that always impressed me about Brother Biscoe was his desire to learn what a person is like. Not to try and make people like him, but try and understand what they were like. Try and understand how God dealt with them. Try and understand how God moved on somebody else's life. What makes them tick, as we might say. And I think that you know, and we understand that God, and we do understand that God has a great bouquet and a variety of flowers, as it were. When we understand those kinds of things, we want to see that from God's perspective, all right? We want to recognize that an infinite God knows the details about each and every individual. He knows what goes into a thought, and he knows how the devil tempts you, and he knows how to raise up a standard against the devil's thoughts in this hour.
Amen.
Praise God for that. We know we make mistakes, but you mustn't look at that. It's not your mistakes. Because you're always going to have them. I got one amen on that line. Let me read that again. It's not your mistakes because you're always going to have them. Why? As long as we're in these mortal, unredeemed bodies, we are always going to make mistakes because of our finite mind. All right? And so he says, but you see, it's following his rules, knowing what he said do. Stumble and falling doesn't have one thing to do with it. Let me read that again. Stumble and falling doesn't have one thing to do with it. We think it does because of our finite thinking. But in the infinite mind of God, it doesn't have one thing to do with it. He's made provision for it. You see, a real true servant, if he has stumbled, he'll get up again. If he wobbles, God pulls him back in the path as long as he's in the path of duty. But if he's off the path of duty, God's not obligated to him. So what do you do if you're out of the path of duty? You repent and you get back in the path of duty. It's just that simple. But as long as he's in the path of duty, God's obligated to him, knowing that he's just a man or a woman. God knows you're just a man. He knows you're not him. Amen. He knows you're limited. He knows that he has subjected you in this realm through sin by reason of hope that you might come to the realization of who God is, because God does not have an identity crisis.
Right.
All right? God knows who he is.
That's good.
He doesn't have to prove that he's a healer. He knows he's a healer. But he wants to declare himself in us, that we might know him in the power of his resurrection. He knows he's a provider. He doesn't have to prove it to us, but he does. Because he wants to express himself to us that we might know his attributes, a provider, a savior, a healer, a redeemer, all of these attributes that were within God before the foundation of the world. God didn't make creation because he was worried that, I wonder if I'm really a healer. No, God's infinite. But he made a creation that he might have fellowship with the expression of his attributes. And so God making himself known to us and bringing himself into manifestation within our lives, knowing that we're just men or women, God has put us here that we might overcome by faith, as we heard last night to the overcomer. I think it was last night. I might be blending my services together. So being infinite gives him foreknowledge. His foreknowledge allows him to predestinate. We don't have those qualities, therefore we cannot predestinate. But Brother Branham says, God never just said, I'll choose one, I'll choose this one, choose that one. The reason he could predestinate is because he's infinite. He's infinite, so therefore he knowed everything. He knowed the end. He could tell the end from the beginning. He's God. If he can't do that, he's not God. All right, so just some foundational expressions here. Now, being infinite changes what things mean. I want you to follow me now for a moment. It changes what things mean, because we being finite, we have to quantify things because we're finite. Remember an expression that I heard one time. It says, the mind is like an attic. You can only fit so many things up there. And after a while, it's full. So you have to be careful what you put in your attic. You only want to put worthwhile things that you want to keep there. All right? Things that you want to store there. But yet, so because we're human, we are finite in our capacity. And I'll just say, at this time, because of these unredeemed bodies. What? We know the Bible says there's coming a time that we will know even as we are known. And we're moving in that direction. And really this is the hour of that time. Even as Jesus said, in that day you'll know that I'm in the Father me, I in you, and you in me. So our minds of understanding, our eyes of understanding are becoming enlightened by the revealing of the Word of God. But being infinite now, going back to infinite, changes things. And because we look at things within limits. God does not look at things with limits. And I want to just get this very clear this morning so that we can get to where we need to get to, is that with us, there is big and small. Right? But with God, because he's infinite, there's no big, no small. Because he's infinite. What's big with infinite? There's nothing big with infinite. Because big is related to a finite quality. But in infinite, to God, nothing is big. He's bigger than that. No matter how big something is, he's greater than that. No matter how many components you add to something, he's greater than that. That's why the Bible, in talking about his infinity, he numbers the stars. He knows all their names. Every one of them. He calls them by name, the scripture says. He can rattle them off. I can't hardly remember the names of my own children. But he knows the names of every star. All the billions upon billions of them out there, he knows them, every one. That's infinite. But infinite isn't just how big he is. Infinite is also small. Because we can look at the makeup of our being, and we can talk about the atoms that we are made up out of, and the calcium and the potash and the minerals and all of these things.
But go break that down into the atoms of it and break the atoms down into electrons and protons and the nucleus and break those down into the quarks and the other little infinitesimally small particles that make up matter, and God knows every one of those.
Yeah.
So from the small to the great, infinite describes it as just something.
Yeah.
Now there's a reason I'm trying to get this point across to you. Because what that tells us is there's no problem too big.
Right.
Amen. Amen.
God's bigger.
Amen.
But it also tells us there's no problem too small.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Thanks, sir.
Right. That's good.
Hallelujah.
That's why in God's sight, there's no big gifts and little gifts.
Right.
There's just different gifts.
Amen.
So you can't say, well, that's why Brother Branham could make a statement as a prophet and said, brothers, don't judge your ministry by the size of your congregation.
Yeah.
It takes a prophetic eyesight to see that, because to man, we look at a congregation. I know brothers that have churches of 10 and 15,000 people. We say, what a great ministry. That's not what a prophet said.
Right.
Sorry.
Yeah.
And we look at a brother with just a handful of people, and we go, oh, well, maybe someday God will give him a ministry. That's not what God said.
Right.
It's just as important to God, the big as the little. It makes no difference with God. That's why God could stand in flesh at the offering box in the temple and look at a little widow woman that dropped two mites into the box and says, she's given more than everybody. That's not the way we would look at it, but that's the way God looks at it. That's infinite. Your problems are not too big, and that's not the issue necessarily, because we believe God is big, but I'll just say it this way. Your problems are not too small.
Amen.
Man, that's good.
The reason I actually even got into this subject one time was somebody, I was talking to a young sister, and she made a statement that just rubbed me the wrong way. She said, God has bigger things to think about than that. I thought, that can't be right. I began to think about that. And I began to think, no, there is nothing too small for God to think about. He knows all things. He knows the end from the beginning. That's what infinite means. All right? So we're all on the same page.
Great.
I've preached about 3,000 times in my life, give or take. If you go to a service three times a week for 40 years, that's 6,000 services. Like I said, we like to quantify things. Yet I begin to think about the almost infinite quality of this message. In 1,200 messages, I just picked up a message the first time I preached it, and I just said, here's a message I'm just reading right now. It's in 1959. I think it was, What Does Thou Hear, Elijah? The beginning of 1959. I just said, here's a book. I've got about probably 15 highlights in it. I just picked it up and read through it, and I just really enjoyed some statements that to me are either unique or outstanding in some way. It's all good, but there are just some statements that stood out to me. It says, now if there's a dozen, if I would take every message and get a dozen highlights in every message, and you could put those together, how many different combinations could you put together with just 12 comments out of every message? So being a little bit mathematically minded, I calculated that out. And it's a one with 1,295 digits after it.
Wow.
That's just the message.
Yes.
How infinite is our God?
Amen.
What a message that He has sent us.
Amen.
We've hardly even scratched the surface of what's in this message. And now I'm going to say to preachers, because I'm one of you, is sometimes I think we love the big things, but there's so many little things that God has revealed in this hour. And the little things are so important and so vital to many. I'll just say it this way. When David picked up the stones that he was going to kill Goliath with, God knew they would be there. Matter of fact, before the foundation of the world, he knew which stone he was going to embed in Goliath's forehead.
Yes, brother. Yes. Yes.
All right. But I'll go further than that. Before it was a stone that was just right to fit into a sling, it was maybe a chunk of granite.
All right. Yeah.
All right.
But God needed to pour rain on that granite, because in that granite was a stone that he was going to take a little boy to a brook to pick out of the brook. That over thousands of years, the rain had worn down to a little stone, and many people walked past that stone. Many people walk past that brook, and that's just a stone. It doesn't mean anything. But every time someone walked past there, the thoughts of God about that stone was, that's a Goliath killer.
Amen.
That one right there. See, that's a Goliath killer. Sometimes a little stone, sometimes a little revelation is a Goliath killer. Or sometimes it just takes a drop of rain after a drop of rain after a drop of rain after a drop of rain, till finally that revelation is just the right size to kill Goliath. Or if I could say it this way, just the right size to fit into the hand of a boy that's been practicing with a sling, that maybe in his mind he's thought about what is the perfect stone to wield 100 yards or 50 yards or whatever it was, and a certain speed, and it'll fly straight. God had him practicing outside, so he had a man that he was training to recognize a perfect stone. And so then he comes to the brook, and he gets, and he's looking in the brook, and he goes, there's a perfect stone. Now he's caught the mind of God. Now he's caught the mind. See, if you can catch the thought of God, you'll destroy the devil every time.
Amen.
God knows the right time to draw David's attention to it.
Wow.
God knows everything.
Yeah.
God knows how to bring a stone to perfection to smite his enemy. See, he is the high priest of our confession, and the stone is also a confession.
Amen.
He's also the stonemason of our stone. He knows how to chip us down. He delegates stonemasonry to the ministry, so that we can chip away at who you think you are till we get to what God knows you are. We'll maybe talk about that a little bit more in the second session. He knows how much anointing you need. He knows how much of the washing of the water of the word you need. He knows how much chipping you need and how much grit you need. It's getting quieter as more I get into this.
This is good.
Because he wants our confession to be exactly right to defeat the enemy. The Bible says in Revelation 12, they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto the death. Let me just bring something up here. Brother Brown says there's a fundamental truth here. He says, by faith are you saved, and that's your faith in God. The blood keeps you clean from sin. So you're not saved by the blood. You're saved by faith, and that by grace. The blood keeps you clean from sin because it makes a sacrifice. The blood doesn't save you. The blood keeps you clean. How do you say saved? By faith are you saved, and that's by God's foreknowledge calling you. You are saved. The blood makes an atonement, constantly keeping you clean. All right. to infinite here. Brother Branham says, now you say that took a long time. Brother Jason touched on this also last night. Not to God. We're finite. We just have to hurry. And sometimes I think some ministers are in more of a hurry than others.
Yeah.
All right. And yeah. I like the way you put it last night, Brother Jason. Sometimes, you know, we can feel like if we don't change the bride in this service,
yeah.
It's a disaster.
Yeah. That's exactly right.
If we don't fix every problem in this service, we have been a miserable failure. And that's the fallacy of the finite mind of the minister.
Right?
God is patient. Nothing is out of order. He's the one that's working on us. He just uses ministers. Amen. He says, all right, that took a long time. Not to God. We're finite. We just have to hurry. I was thinking when I left Jeffersonville and driving 30 miles an hour, I drove down to Birmingham in one day and a little bit of the night. And I thought, that wouldn't mean so much to me, but what if a little ant tried to run that? What would it mean to him? See, he couldn't make it in thousands of lifetimes. But it didn't mean nothing much to me. What about an airplane? What about a jet? Then an astronaut. Then, what about God? So Jesus was only crucified yesterday in God's time.
All right.
Yesterday afternoon in God's time. If he had time. That's the infinite, eternal God. To God, it was just yesterday. To us, it's been thousands of years. Almost, or about 2,000 years. And so we realize that when we look at things, Brother Brown's highlighting it like we're an ant. But yet an ant related to a human being, an ant views a lifetime as being a very limited time. But to us human beings, a lifetime is a much longer period of time. But to God, there is no lifetime. There's just life. Never did begin, never did end. So then what I'm trying to tell you is that to God, if we can catch this morning, it can expand our horizons and it can really expand our faith. Because to God, there are no limitations as far as time. That's why when Abraham waited 25 years for the fulfillment of the promise, we might say to us, that's a third of a lifetime. But to God, it's 6 minutes. If we take 1,000 years as one day. It's just 6 minutes. Abraham, I'm going to give you a child 6 minutes from now. To God. But to Abraham, it's all. But he grew stronger in faith. Amen. We believe in God's promise. You know, we believe in God's promise for our families. I do. We believe God's going to bring our children in. God, we believe God's going to bring our loved ones in by his promise. How many minutes from now it's going to be, I don't know.
Right.
If it's 6 minutes from now, that's in God's sight, 25 years in my sight.
Wow.
Right.
A third of a lifetime. But his promise is sure.
Hallelujah.
His promise was sure to Abraham.
Yeah.
His promise is sure to the children of Abraham.
Right.
So we like to quantify things. We like to quantify time. We like to quantify different things. We like to quantify our bank account.
Right. Yep.
We like to quantify our retirement.
Yes,
we get worried about current events. That's why Jesus said, take no thought for the morrow.
Yeah.
For sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof.
Yeah.
Take no thought what you will eat, what you will drink, wherewith you shall be clothed. For does he not watch over the sparrow? And how much greater are you than the sparrow?
Yeah.
Amen? So God's trying to tell you, don't look at things like a sparrow looks at things. Don't look at things like, I got to do this, and I got to do that, and I got to do that. We have labors that we have to do, but yet in the midst of all of that, he says, I'm the one that put you here. I'm the one that knows your needs. I'm the one that will give you your needs. If you are faithful, you will have everything that you require in this world. It's this age that we're living in that tries to, and I'm getting to preaching, as we say, that tries to get us to think about things
that we really don't need to worry about. Take no thought. What's the scripture say? That's not the scripture I want. The scripture is, be careful for nothing.
Right. Yeah.
But by prayer and supplication, make your requests known unto God. Yeah. Brothers, that's a good one to teach your wives.
Yes, sir.
I teach my wife that all the time. She gets worrying about something. I said, now be careful for nothing, the scripture says, or be worried about nothing. But by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. I said, did you pray about it? I think it's a good time to pray about it. Brothers, teach your wives not to worry. You might be able to do it, but it's a little bit more difficult to get your wives to do it. But that's our first place that we can sow the word. Amen.
Amen.
Hope this is all right, brothers. Sometimes it seems like the evil works of the age that we're living in are endless. Job says, is not thy wickedness great? Are thine iniquities infinite? And in the mind of man, it almost seems that way. You know, the Bible says in Genesis 6 that God saw the wickedness of man was very great in the earth, and the imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. The Hebrew might say it this way, every scheme his mind thought was nothing but evil all the time. And so continually God looked down upon it, and all flesh had corrupted their ways. Now remember, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the revealing of the Son of Man. It's not that people want to be evil, but it's that the devil has gained access to their minds and gained control of their lives by the thoughts of their minds. And so that is the evil that is upon the earth. And someone sent this to me. It's actually one of my sons sent this to me. Maybe you saw it, but he sent me an article that had recently come out. Now, before I read the article, I'm just going to read a couple of things that Brother Branham said, or read a portion of the article. Brother Branham said, just recently, even cancer has been declared to be a fourth dimension disease, that it's in another dimension. Sure, it's demonology. Every disease is a fourth dimension disease. The beginning of it. This was in 1956, or 55 rather. He says in 1955 also, he says, in the fourth dimension, people can prove that right through this room right now is coming radioactivity, radio messages coming right through this building. Now is coming television pictures, but it's too fast for our eyes. I'll just say right now, Brother Bram says is going radio. Well, we just proved that because you're not actually hearing me speak here. You're hearing me over a speaker. But I'm not physically connected to the speaker. There's a radio wave, a transmitter on my hip here that's going, I don't even know where the receiver is on that end. It's over there somewhere. They pointed this direction. And so it's going this direction, and then it's coming back through the speaker, and you look at my lips move, and you think you're seeing me speak, or you're hearing me speak as you see my lips, but what you're actually hearing is a radio wave that's transported the sound through a speaker down into your ears, so you're actually hearing that, unless you're maybe in the front row here, you're hearing that above what I'm saying, so I can speak really quiet, and you still hear me. Okay, that's how acoustics, that's the fourth dimension. Waves, transmitters, all those kind of things. And we understand that. Brother Branham made that very real to us. Now, science also has looked at this, and I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this, but I just want you to see this. And this is from the Smithsonian Magazine in 2017. It says, in a psychogenic, this is their word for it, in a psychogenic illness, a psychological trigger, rather than a biological or environmental one, causes actual physical symptoms.
says we may be at a crossroads in the history of psychogenic illness as the primary vector or agent of spread appears to be the internet and new technologies. Disease spreading through the internet is what they're saying. This is not the message. This is not Brother Branham, who in 1955 already saw that. But now it's science in 2017 catching up to what God spoke through his prophet. All right, and they're recognizing that there's fourth dimension aspects to the travel of sickness. So the reason I went back to that article was because of a 2022 article that a fellow from a place called, I don't know if you ever heard of it, Harvard. Anybody ever heard of Harvard? I think it's a fairly reputable place. He's the, I think I got his name up here. He's the senior faculty editor for Harvard Health Publishing. All right? And this is what he says about ticks and TikTok, a new driver of psychogenic illness, sociogenic illness. Says the first examples of social media induced sociogenic illness were recognized in the last year or two, a time coinciding with the pandemic. Neurologists began seeing increased numbers of patients, especially teenage girls, with unusual involuntary movements and vocalizations reminiscent of Tourette's syndrome. Tourette's is a demon, in case you didn't know that. Every sickness is a demon. Tourette's syndrome. After ruling out other explanations, the tics in these teenagers seem related to many hours spent watching TikTok videos of people who reported having Tourette's syndrome and other movement disorders. So now what are we seeing through this marvel of internet and social media? We see demons traveling through the internet from one to another, creating disease. Well, a prophet of God described that for us already in a service. And he said, now, this person over here has gallbladder trouble. He says, and this person over here has gallbladder trouble. I can see the demons crying out to each other. How were they crying out? Nobody was hearing the demons cry out. They were crying out in a fourth dimension. You see? And so they were traveling in a fourth dimension way, trying to gain strength from each other. But a prophet of God nailed it on the head in that God was revealing the secrets of the devil. And if the devil is exposed, he's powerless. But now let me add on top of that, what are the young people watching? If it's a demon of Tourette's can travel through there, what about a demon of lust? Or a demon of perversion? Or a demon of cancer? Or a demon of some other thing? Leukemia, whatever it might be. Demons know how to travel in the fourth dimension. Do I even have to say stay away from that stuff? It'll kill you, literally. Young people. This has become a common. Now we get to preaching again. I find that the last generation, the 20s to 30s, that grew up with the internet and social media and all those kind of things, cannot conceive of a world without social media. The devil has ingrained it in their mind. Why is he doing that? To gain access to their minds for demon spirits to gain control of their bodies. Internet is not harmless. Social media is not harmless. It's all very harmful. And we all use it. And I hope we keep our spectrum on the internet very narrow. Brother Paul, I watched one of your services on the internet. I hope I got a good spirit from that. I believe I did.
Wow.
Can you say amen to these things?
Amen. Really good.
As it was in the days of Noah, when the minds of man was continually evil before God.
Amen.
It wasn't that they wanted to be evil.
Yeah.
They couldn't help themselves.
Yep.
May the washing of the water of the Word wash us from all of these things. So Brother Branham says, if God doesn't judge America for her unrighteousness, as the infinite holy God, he'd be duty-bound to resurrect Sodom and Gomorrah and apologize for sinking them and burning them up. Certainly we're bound for judgment. There's no way out of it. So just get ready to escape the damnation of the wrath of God by fleeing to Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. He's saying, listen, the infinite God, if he knows all things, he knew when Sodom and Gomorrah existed and he judged them and poured brimstone and fire out of heaven and destroyed those cities. He knew then that America would be just as bad. And we say America, but really the world. He knew then that we'd be dealing with the same things.
Amen.
He knew then that we'd be living in a Sodomite age now.
Yeah,
right. Amen?
Yeah.
So if God knew that then, he was foreshadowing, this is what I do to this kind of a lifestyle.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen? He cannot change. He's infinite. His first decision is always right. Can we say amen to that?
Amen.
So we know that there is coming an end to the wickedness that is in the world. Though there seems to be no limit, there is a limit. And the limit is called the Great Judgment Day. When all evil will be terminated in the lake of fire. Amen. You still with me?
Amen.
Thank you. I was thinking that myself. What I'm saying to Brother Barry is he held up the 10-minute sign for me. All right, let's just go through this. Oh my, this is wonderful. This is the good part. No matter how much it looks like it's going to be that way, it's going to be the way God intends it to be.
Right. Yes.
It can't be nothing else. For him being infinite, know the end from the beginning. And he makes everything come to his praises.
Wow.
That's right. All things will have to work together. Everything will have to shape right up to its place.
Absolutely.
Including me.
Praise
including
God.
You.
Amen.
God's working on us.
Amen.
He knows what we have need of. You know, in Hebrews chapter 10, we don't have time to turn to it. But in Hebrews chapter 10, it talks about the sacrifice of the law having a shadow of good things to come, but not the very image of things. The law can never with those sacrifices which were offered year by year, now notice the limitation to it, year by year continually make the comers thereunto perfect. Perfect is infinite.
Yeah.
All right? Infinite is perfect. So that sacrifice in the Old Testament was not perfect. And it could not make the receivers of the benefit of it perfect, or else it would have ceased to have been offered.
Right.
You with me? All right? But he goes on and says, every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. But this man,
yes.
Jesus Christ, but this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins. One sacrifice. What kind of a sacrifice would that is? I say to you, that was an infinite sacrifice. One sacrifice for sins sat down at the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. Amen. The sacrifice was perfect. The sacrifice covers everything. Come on, brothers. Can you say amen to that? The sacrifice covers everything. It was so perfect that even the sacrifice himself sat down at the right hand of the Father and says, it's finished.
Amen.
Now let's just watch till all my enemies become my footstool.
Amen.
I don't have to do nothing more. It's already done.
Amen.
Amen. The sacrifice is already made. That's why he can't heal you, because he's already done it. That's why he can't provide for you. He's already done it. You just have to get your confession to line up with his sacrifice. He says, by one offering he has perfected forever them that are sanctified.
Amen.
So that is there.
That is the sacrifice that we have received. It is infinite. It is for every mistake. There is not one mistake that we've ever made or ever will make that was ever excluded from the sacrifice. Because then that would make the sacrifice imperfect. But the sacrifice was perfect. The sacrifice was unlimited. The sacrifice was infinite to be able to atone in every way for every need that would ever be in every attribute of God in any dimension.
Praise God.
Because he's infinite, even blindness, cancer, anything like that is no different to him, no bigger to him than a toothache. To us it might seem bigger, but to him it's no different. There's no big disease and little disease, it's all devils. It's all lying vanities. There's no big lying vanities and little lying vanities, it's all the same. You might be suffering here today with what the world calls, because the world has to put a quantity on it, what the world calls as a tremendous disease, or the world might call it an incurable disease. But to the infinite one, there's no such thing. All right, let me just, I got 5 minutes left. Usually when you take a person in a wheelchair, they think, oh, I'm hopeless. No, you're not. No more harder God to heal you than it would be to stop a toothache. He's infinite God. You just have to let him have control. And then place a faith in here and it goes to work. Right immediately, you might not see anything happen. But remember, St. Mark 11:24, Jesus passed by a tree. There was no figs on it. He said, no man eateth from thee, and went on. They didn't see no difference in that tree. But way down beneath the ground at the roots, it started dying. Within 24 hours, when they passed again, it had begun to wither. That's the same thing that takes place in a cancer. When God's Spirit curses the thing, you might go back to the doctor. It looks just the same. But way down deep, it's dying. Way down deep upon you, if you accepted Christ as your healer, maybe you can move your finger just a little teeny bit more. God's on the job. Believe what you say shall come to pass, and you shall have what you say. If it isn't true, then God isn't true. Then the Bible isn't true. One thing that struck me as I was reading this was, sometimes we ask God for a miracle, which is an instantaneous healing, a healing that defies the laws of nature. And sometimes we ask God for a miracle when really wants what he wants to give us is character. In every sermon, make one sentence that everybody will remember. Sometimes we want a miracle, but really he wants to give you character.
Amen.
I'm sure Abraham wanted a miracle.
Right.
Tomorrow. I want the baby tomorrow. Or I want the baby in 9 months. It was 25 years. What was God doing? He was working on Abraham's character.
Yeah.
The promise was true.
Yeah.
The promise is sure. I'm the God that heals all your sicknesses and diseases.
Amen.
Yes. Amen. The promise is true.
Yeah.
But let God have control.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
Quickly. When we in our little finite minds begin to think over, why would God, why would the great King of Heaven choose a little place like that instead of the capital? He's talking about why little Bethlehem. Instead of some, even there was many places who had a greater spiritual background than what Bethlehem did. Finite minds versus the infinite mind of God. All right? Why it had to be shepherds? He says, there was a promised word. Notice it could do that again. It bypassed all the nobles of the land. It bypassed all the nobles and was revealed to the nobodies. All the nobles that were decorated with doctors, divinity, and psychology, and higher educations, and great cathedrals, and things, it was all bypassed and revealed to nobodies. The wisdom, the infinite wisdom, that's where we started, his understanding is infinite. The infinite wisdom of Almighty God did it to make known to them the greatest message ever was, the Messiah is now on earth.
Wow.
What a wisdom could only come from God who knows wisdom.
All the wisdom and all of the schooling and everything that now laid to waste and bypassed by the great wisdom of God. I keep repeating that because I want it to go down deep. All laid to waste. It was of no good. Bypassed it all to let God's wisdom have the right of way. That God takes nothings to make the somethings.
Wow. Amen.
And I think we'll stop there. Let's bow our heads in a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for this first session this morning. We ask, Lord, that you'll just take your word now, anchor it in our hearts, Lord. Those simple, yet, Lord, you hide yourself in simplicity. And we give ourselves to you, asking your blessing upon it, and may you carry us forward into the next session for your glory in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
How do you stop a sermon?
With good words.
We've only had two services. We've got five more.
Amen.
If we shut it down now and went home, it would be worth it all.
Amen.
My goodness. Just think about some of that. All right. Let's take a little break. Okay? If you don't mind, do it this way. So